My first remarks this morning, we're going to go back to Brother James's class because it just leads right into the remarks I'd like to make this morning. If flesh had been left to its own devices, there would never have been a Redeemer. Divine intervention was necessary in effecting the virgin birth. Our Lord was the man whom God made strong for Himself. For this reason, no flesh can glory in the presence of the Almighty. Adam was made unto us folly and sin and condemnation and death. This we inherit by nature. Christ was made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. This federal relationship to Christ, whereby God grants the acceptable position and perfect attributes of His Son to His imperfect brethren, is accomplished by baptism. The object of the apostolic enterprise was to make this known to both the Jew and the Gentile. And the object of the apostolic enterprise must be considered when we think about the qualifications of the men chosen to carry it out. And there's something that we must remember when we consider this, is that that object was God's object, not our object. And therefore it is with His view that we must look to see the matter clearly. And the thing that caught my attention some years ago when I studied the apostles that God has left nothing undone in presenting His plan of restoration of fallen man, redemption, reconciliation, salvation. He has left nothing undone. And He is going to accomplish His purpose. And this earth will be filled with the glory of God. He's going to accomplish it. And let's just think back about the apostles. In the scriptures it says that the Israelites, they studied the scriptures in their homes. Their mothers and fathers talked about these things with their children. And Josephus says at the age of 6, I believe it is, that every little town had a synagogue. And the children went there and were taught by the rabbi. And as for myself, I feel sure that these 12 men that were chosen by Christ to be His followers and to proclaim the gospel, that they experienced this. There was a lot of preparations in the selection of these men. And if we'll remember, John the Baptist had preached for 3 years. And what did he preach about? The sins of Israel, and also what else? The coming of the Messiah. So the people at this time were stirred up about these things. They were really looking for the Messiah because they wanted to be out from under the rule of Rome. And unfortunately, that's probably the main reason that these 12 followed Christ. He was the Messiah, and he was going to get them out from under the rule of Rome. Now, not only did they hear the preaching of John the Baptist, but they also heard Christ or Jesus teach before him, before he chose them. There was lots of preparation of these 12 men. Lots of preparation. And we're told that Jesus, he prayed about those men that he would choose from. He had over 100 followers that he could select from. And he prayed about this all night before he selected those 12. And then those 12 men, they spent 3 years with him. They heard him teach to the public. And just think of the hours that they spent when he taught, especially to just them, just the 12. And I'm sure sometimes singly. And think about all the miracles that they watched him perform. And then consider the fact that they were eyewitnesses to his death. And they saw him after he had been raised from the grave. They witnessed these things. And they also had something else. They were given the Holy Spirit, these men were. And why were they given this Holy Spirit? You remember when I talked about they were to certify the things about Christ? They could prove that they were truly his followers if they also could perform the miracles that he did. Everyone at that time knew about the miracles that Christ could perform. God wanted to make sure that what he had done for man was not to be considered a hoax. And he has proved this. He has left nothing undone. And if we separate ourselves from God, it's our fault. It's not God's. It's not another brother or sister. It's our fault. So far, I've spent our time talking about the apostles as a group. Today, I would like to spend some time talking about one of the individual apostles. Andrew, the brother of Peter. Have you ever tried to imagine the gratitude in Andrew's heart when at Pentecost he stood at his brother's side and heard him charge that crowd before him with the crime of history? and then witness the mighty effect of Peter's teaching as thousands turn to Christ. How thrilled Andrew must have been that he had led Peter to Christ 3 years earlier, probably never realizing that God would use who? His brother, so wonderfully. Let's turn to John, the first chapter. Verses 41 and 42. John chapter 1, verse 41 and 42. Let's start at 40. One of the two which heard John speak, John the Baptist, and followeth him was Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother. And look at verse 41. He findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. And verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. He findeth his own brother. Andrew had been listening to John the Baptist. He was one of those who had gone out to hear the wilderness prophet. He was there when John pointed to Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God. Intrigued and interested, he followed and spent the evening with Jesus. Look at verse 39. He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with them that day. For it was about the 10th hour. And you talk about details, there are some real details. They even tell us what hour. It was about the 10th hour. This was a significant time for Andrew. A time of decision, a time of opportunity. And he came away with one conviction. Jesus was the long looked for and expected Messiah. Now this is important. These people were looking for the Messiah. The seed of Abraham. They were looking for this Messiah that was going to rescue them. And what does he do in John 1:41 there? He first finds his brother. Now, I want you to think about something else. This man, Andrew, is never mentioned first in any list of the 12. Never. He's never mentioned first. Who's first? Peter. He's always first. And brothers and sisters and friends, I believe this had always been so. In the fishing business and in their family life, everything had always revolved around Peter. Peter gave the orders, and Andrew was in the background doing his job. Write that down. Peter gave the orders, and Andrew was in the background doing his job. I don't want you to forget that. Doing his job. We have found the Messiah. He told Peter, "We have found the Messiah." Did Peter say, "Oh, I don't want to hear this"? Did Peter say that? Peter listened to his younger brother. He did not turn a deaf ear. I wonder why Peter listened to Andrew. This is important. And I'm going to make a point here. Andrew's life was such that his older brother respected him. The example of that quiet, reliable, humble Andrew had its effect on Peter. When Andrew told Peter, "We have found the Messiah," Peter went with Andrew. Now, I'm going to make a point here. I came in contact with a man, or a young man, when I was in the 11th grade in high school. I knew this young man through the 11th grade, through the 12th grade, and through 2 years of college. In that second year of college, this young man began to talk to me about the gospel that the Christadelphians teach, the glad tidings and the good news. And he gave me some literature to read. Now listen, he had never mentioned this at any time before to me. If it had not been for the life that that man had lived and the example that he set, I would not have listened to him. I would have not have read the literature that he gave to me. Now, this is important of why Peter listened to Andrew. He knew that Andrew did not lie. We have found the Messiah. And Peter got up and he went with Andrew to Jesus. And there's another point I want to make here. A man who Jesus cured, who wished to remain at his deliverer's side all the time, Jesus told him something. Go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee. Without being ordered, this is what Andrew did. He found his brother Peter and he brought him to Jesus. And what did Peter do later? His teachings brought thousands. Read the first few chapters of Acts. read those words that Peter spoke, we never know what far-reaching results may issue from yours and mine's willingness to tell someone about the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. Andrew knew the Lord first and told Peter of him. And from then on, who took the lead? Peter. He was the leader from that moment on. But here's another important point. There was no pang of jealousy in Andrew's heart, because Andrew possessed and exhibited the love that envieth not. The love that envieth not. Andrew does not appear in the scriptures as often as Peter. Yet each time we meet him, he is the same attractive character. And I think that word same there is important. He is the same. That's why Peter went with him when Andrew came and said, we have found the Messiah. He was not changeable. And each time we read about him, the few times that he's in Scripture, he's the same character. He was approachable. That's an important word. He was approachable. He was kind. He was thoughtful. And he was sincere. Ever bent on bringing others to Christ. Approachable, kind, thoughtful, and sincere. Ever bent on bringing others to Christ. Let's turn to John chapter 12. Verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover. Now that's an important word there. Let's look at that. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Let's get down to verse 9. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came, not only for Jesus' sake only, but for they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priest consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Okay, let's skip down to verse 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. verse 20. Now, if you go back to verse 1, it says, 6 days before the Passover. Okay. Verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. They were worshipers. They could have been proselytes or must have been proselytes. The same therefore came to Philip and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And who does Philip go to? Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my person troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. And others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And verse 32, And if I be lifted up from this earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. I wonder why Andrew took those Greeks to see Jesus. Andrew knew that God is no respecter of persons. If any man hunger after righteousness, then he, Andrew, would lead them to the Lord. He took Peter and he took those Greeks to Jesus. Okay, let's turn to Mark the 13th chapter. And before I leave that about, I want to make one point there about John being approachable. Which apostle was it that the little boy brought the loaves and the fishes to? It was Andrew. I wonder why Peter or one of those other apostles weren't the ones that brought the fishes and the loaves to Jesus. I think it could be possible that Andrew was a man who was approachable. And there's something about that word, to be approachable. To be able to go to someone and talk with them. someone who's kind and thoughtful and sincere and will listen and who will be helpful. Mark 13. Tommy, would you read Mark 13, Tommy Hamlin, verses 1 through 4?
And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs when all these things shall be fulfilled?
Do you notice something there? There's Peter. He's at the top of the list, isn't he? And there's James and John. And then there's Andrew, number four. Now, who were the inner circle? Christ had three men that he was very dependent upon, and that was Peter and James and John. But here we see Andrew. Andrew held that position of being above the other seven, but he was below the first three. He attained not unto the first three. He attained not unto the first three. Andrew was not made a witness of some important experiences of Jesus. He was left behind outside Jairus' house. He did not behold the transfiguration. He was left behind when Jesus took Peter and James and John to share his sorrow in the garden. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter. Brother Dick Purcell, in 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter, would you read verses 22 through 25?
22 through 25. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Haziel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. Also, he went down and slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. And he slew an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits high. And in the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighties. Behold, he was honorable among the 30, but attained not to the first three. And David set him over his guard.
That's interesting there, isn't it? Behold, he was honorable among the 30, but attained not to the first three. Well, what did Benaiah do? He accepted his position. And so did Andrew. They accepted their position. They weren't of the top three. They were content to fill subordinate positions. Andrew was a man who thought more of service than of reputation. He thought more of the work to be done than the place given to the worker. It did not concern this man of humble mind and generous heart that men talked more of Peter, his brother, or of James and John than they did of him. Andrew was a stranger to that miserable envy which turns pale and sickens even if a friend prevail. Andrew will ever remain the type of all those who labor quietly in humble places, whether at home or abroad, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God. Now, brothers and sisters and friends, think about this. Say there is a brother that has greater abilities than we. And if more can be accomplished, if we assist this man or this brother in a subordinate capacity, will our reward be any less? We have to do the best we can with what abilities we have. That's what God requires of you and me. It is believed that Andrew labored with great diligence. And this is tradition here. This is not from the Word of God. It is believed that Andrew labored with great diligence and much success in extending the gospel message. But it is told that his very success excited the enmity of the governor of Greece, who ordered Andrew to cease his activities. Andrew refused. See, Andrew was not only approachable and helpful, he was also faithful. Andrew refused, and it is said that even the wife of this governor accepted his teachings. And this governor, after doing his utmost to tear his wife from her new faith, had Andrew scourged and then crucified on a stake in the form of an X. And tradition says that Andrew hung for 2 days on this stake before he died. And the words that he continued to tell his followers were this: separate yourselves from worldly desires and establish your hearts with the mind of Christ. And brothers and sisters, how can you and I establish our hearts with the mind of Christ? There's only one way, and that's by the study of His words. And what are the words of Christ? They are the words of His Father in heaven, because these are the words which Christ spoke. We must conclude our remarks concerning the Apostle Andrew by saying that even though he did not attain to the first three in this life, he was a lovable, he was a friendly, he was a faithful, and he was a helpful servant, and will most assuredly be found amongst the chiefest in the kingdom of God. At this time, I'll ask Brother Bob Conrad to come forward and dismiss us for this day and give thanks for the food.